What's going on, y'all? Oh, yeah. It is a new special episode of Bantering the MFN Blue Shirts. you hear that, like, crunching in the background? Is that audible to anybody out there?
Is that Stanley doing work?
It is Stanley chewing on a bone, so if you can hear it, let me know, and I will remove the bone from him.
No, let Stanley have his bone.
Don't do that. It's Thanksgiving. Let him have his bone.
I can hear it.
Nobody minds.
It's driving me insane. Yes, this is a special episode. I apologize for not being available last weekend. We had a fun little baby emergency that wasn't an emergency. And since I have you all and we're discussing babies, there is not going to be a show next week because I'm going to be a parent at some point next week. So maybe we'll try to do something for you on Monday or something, actually. But we'll talk about that. The Rangers play today. This is interesting. We've never done this kind of pregame show before. We have a special guest who may be joining us at some point later in the show. But, God, there is a lot to talk about because there was no show last week. So, you know, just, again, an apology for things being a little chaotic for this week and next week. But we're going to try to figure it out. Yeah, you could just blame me or blame Mike because most things are Mike's fault.
Hey!
The Ragnars, guys. Oh, actually, let's do this first. This show is sponsored by Harry's. If we get 10 people to sign up for the Harry's Razors on harrys.com/blueshirtbanter, I will eat a capful of the delicious, I'm assuming, Harry's shaving gel.
Yeah.
It smells
really,
really good. Like, it smells amazing. When I used it last weekend, I felt like I smelled like a man. And that doesn't normally happen with me, but...
what do you usually smell like?
Not like a boy, maybe.
Well,
I took the dog out, and the wind outside, and the wind was blowing my hair. It was tussling my hair, and I was getting some whiffs of the aftershave smell. It was amazing. They gave me a razor, and I used it, and my face feels like a four-year-old child. It is that smooth.
That's good.
You get a nice little razor.
Scared of you.
You get a whole little kit if you sign up. So they're going to give you a free trial. harrys.com/blueshirtbanter. You just pay for shipping. That's it. You do that, and it's better than going to Stop and Shop and paying like $18 for three razors that you're just going to throw out after you use them. It's ridiculous. So go to harrys.com/blueshirtbanter. You get a weighted razor handle. 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade to get the shave gel that I will be eating and a travel blade cover in the event that you travel, which I know you do. So, and if you're looking for a razor to shave your head, just let them know that because this is not, these razors are for facial action, not head. I guess your face is part of your head, sort of, but whatever. So, harrys.com/blueshirtbanter. If 10 people sign up, I will eat a capful of shaving gel, and it will go on our Patreon only, our patron only section, which we'll talk about later. Anyway, the Rangers snapped their winning streak. They had their winning streak snapped, and then they won a game. The last time that we spoke, it is a little interesting to do the show before a game because it does sort of leave that, you know, there's a variable. We don't really know what's going to go down, but. Mike, give me your thoughts on the past 2 weeks since the last time we podcasted.
Well, yeah, it's pretty interesting because it was the winning streak could last. We all knew that. That was just a given. And then the Rangers, you know, the Rangers got shut out for the first time this season by the Blue Jackets. That wasn't good. And, you know, it's been... Chicago, you know, put up 6 goals, and that wasn't good. But then, hey, the Rangers had a shutout against the Senators. That's good. And then, oh, no, Ryan McDonagh's hurt. That's not good. So that's my summary.
It was an amazing summary. I mean, Beth would
it
give
was
that
really
summary
good.
Probably
I liked
an A or an A-. Beth, what is your summary? Probably better than Mike's.
Summary is, let's see, we have our good things and we have our nonsense. And while the winning streak was going. The good things were starting to outweigh the nonsense, but now I think we're a little bit back in nonsense land, but we'll see what happens.
I think that's pretty fair.
That
yeah.
is fair. It's like a sick and demented roller coaster ride. So I'm going to do a little bit of a back and forth. I thought the game the Rangers played against Ottawa, which was the very last game that they've played as of this speaking. If you are not listening to the show live and you're listening on archive, then the Rangers would have already played tonight. I should probably know who they're playing, and I don't, because
Carolina. They played
why would
Carolina.
I know that information? Carolina. Oh, we don't have a game thread. I'll set that up right now. So the game against Ottawa was the best the Rangers have looked to this point, I thought. I thought that was one of their better games all year. They played a really good game defensively. They only gave up 20 shots. There was a ridiculous five-minute major against Smith where they only gave up one shot on the entire five-minute major. And the offense...
Do you think the call was ridiculous?
I do. All right, you put me on a sidetrack, but here's what I'll say about that. It is a penalty. It could be a penalty. I don't think it was malicious. When that hit happens probably five or six times a game, and it just never results in that happening. It is dangerous for sure because you're both moving towards the boards, but I don't even remember Borowski. What's the guy's name on Ottawa?
The guy who got hurt?
Yeah, the
Borowski
guy who got hurt.
Whatever his name is.
Baricky or whatever.
Burrow something, yeah.
He was actually off balance because he was swinging his stick at Smith as they were jockeying for the puck. And when Smith hit him, he was just off balance. So, like, listen, I understand that in the moment the guy's unconscious on the ice, that's a five-minute major and a game misconduct. I was very happy to see the NHL be smart and not do anything about it because there's nothing to do. It is interference. It probably should have been just a two-minute minor, but... you know, whatever.
Yeah, and they threw the book at Radko Gudas recently. 10 games for trying to chop off.
Decapitation style swung is...
that was
actual
crazy.
Penalty.
Yeah.
But anyway,
the Flyers are all right.
I really did think that was one of the Rangers' better games all year. And it was coming off a game against Columbus where... You know, something that I'd maintained through the entire winning streak was the Rangers, like, whenever all the AV defenders come up and they're like, oh, you wanted AV fired and blah, 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 what do you think now? I don't think the Rangers really did anything different on this winning streak than they'd been doing when they were losing hockey games. The power play, as Mike alluded to on the last podcast, has been used as a fail-safe, essentially. The offense is too talented not to get going, and I'm going to pat myself on the back talking about Hayes getting going and Nash getting going and whatnot. And really, at what point they were going to come together eventually. Mike is right when he says the winning streak was going to snap eventually. So was the losing streak. It's not like something like that lasts forever. So the real question becomes, I don't think – it's not even a question. I just don't think the Rangers made all that many adjustments between winning and losing. I think they're playing better hockey now. I do think Vigneault is doing smarter things with the forward group. The defense is still an absolute tire fire at times. And as much as he gets the right players in there, I think Holden has played more than Shattenkirk the past few games. So we still have those issues to deal with. But overall, I think the Rangers look a little bit better, but they're not, it's not because they're doing anything differently. It's just not, I don't think they look all that much different than they did in the beginning of the year, outside of the fact that they're getting bounces and winning games. Any thoughts on that, Michael?
I think that's fair. It's, it's definitely, I think the problems, the point that Beth brought up before, I thought was kind of right on the money, is that we're kind of back to the nonsense. And it is, you know, it's weird that, you know, Paul Carey's in the lineup, you know,
yeah,
with the McDonough injury. Yeah, you know, I will say this, like, David Desharnais hasn't been brilliant, but, you know, why
hasn't
is Paul
been
Carey in the
enough
lineup?
To sit for a quadruple A player. I mean,
yeah,
Paul Carey
just,
is Paul Carey. It's the same thing about Kampfer. Kampfer is Kampfer. These are older guys who have never been able to crack it in the NHL for a reason. I mean,
yeah,
this
exactly.
Isn't difficult. Sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to hijack and then interrupt your point. But
no,
you're
a
son of a bitch.
What I was gonna...
Yeah, there you go.
You were saying what I was going to say. But it also, you know, it lines up. Happy Thanksgiving. Very sweet of you. Sweet boy. Soon to be a father with your smooth face and you're eating the shaving cream.
I hope I'm eating the shaving cream. I'll tell you that.
Jesper Fast on the second line is that's a thing.
It's always a thing.
It's definitely a thing, but it has been really interesting watching, particularly to me, something I can't not pay attention to right now is, and for this game coming up in Carolina tonight, the game before our show, or the game after our show, I mean, Brendan Smith. I feel like Brendan Smith needs a good game, like a man stranded in the desert needs to find a well. Like, I agree with Joe
well
that
with
I don't think that a well with water, preferably.
Yeah, preferably.
Or like a well with, if you can't find water in a desert, what do you hope to find? Shade? Shade
oasis, perhaps?
Well, oasis is water, right?
I feel like oasis is just, it could be just shade.
Yeah, but you know what? Oasis, you get to eat maybe.
No,
because
your camels drink there.
Oh,
it's fair.
I
was camels
well,
to find
we
water.
We went off the rails pretty early tonight.
We did. I think we knew that was going to happen.
We've
though.
Never had a camel on the show. I don't think.
Oh, that is, you know, and I feel bad because Mike was making an actual point, but Beth, I think you're right. Mike, can you remember a camel being mentioned?
No, the camels are crazy.
They store shit in their humps and they're just like, they attack people.
I've seen a video of a camel, like it bites a man and it lifts him up with just.
Oh yeah, by the head.
Yeah.
That's a sad video though, because they're trying
video.
To kill that camel.
I'm just saying camels are better than horses.
In
terms
well,
of,
I mean,
unless you're trying
they're
to
not
get
better
somewhere.
Looking. Maybe they have more personality.
No.
My parents live next to a horse farm. A horse farm. I don't know what you would even call it.
A
yeah, whatever.
Ranch?
It's a farm. It's a farm for horses.
A corral.
If it was the West, it would be a ranch, but it's not.
But it's not the West. Oh, whatever. A ranch is fine.
What about a stable?
Stable is probably the correct word. Anyway, they have like these enormous plots of fenced in land for the horses to like run free. And one of the plots of land comes on the adjacent corner of my parents' property. So occasionally we'll go out there with peppermints and feed the horses the peppermints. And they come over because they know they get the peppermints. And they are beautiful creatures. They let you pet their snout. They sniff around. They're very gentle. I'm a big horse.
Yeah, they're just fabulously good looking.
You know, if you try to attempt to ride one, they will kill you. But outside of that, I think it's good to go.
That sounds like a dangerous ranch.
Well, I've never tried to ride one, I guess. I could foresee it being an issue, though.
Yeah.
If you had to have a horse or a camel, what would you have?
Well, I mean, where are we? Am I living in my house here?
Sure.
Like, so I'm in the Northeast?
You know what? Apocalypse. Horse or camel?
Oh, camel.
Yeah, probably.
I think it's
the camel.
Easily the camel because you got to get horsey shoes for the horse.
Well, not even that, but the camel, you know,
also
the camel
the
can survive really without any type of water for the most part. So you could go really long distances with the camel surviving and you can hoard the water.
Yeah, so
yourself.
Anyway, Brendan Smith, you know, I think Brendan Smith really needs to have a good game. And that's really to some extent on him, but it's also this McDonough injury kind of creates an opportunity for him to step up, and the Hurricanes are a good team for him to kind of prove himself against because they don't really have much of an offense. So I think that Vigneault needs to keep this Shea Shattenkirk thing going. God help us with the third pair. Well, McDonough is out, but that's kind of what we expect. So, camels.
Smith is in a really crappy situation, though, because
it is
impossible for a player to sit out for X amount of games. And in this case, it was really like 2.5 weeks. And then turn around and say, okay, we not only do we expect you to play, but we expect you to play really well. And the expectation seems to be that he was going to just come in and it was going to be like nothing ever happened. And obviously we're aware that that's not the case. And Smith has been, I don't think he's been a total disaster. Even at his worst, he's a better option than Stephen Camper is. But it's just hard, really hard for a player to – this was the same thing with McElrath last year. You can't sit a guy for 3 weeks and then turn around and say, all right, I just snapped my fingers. You probably couldn't hear. But
expect him to wow you, yeah.
All right, here you go. Get in. And then, oh, I expect you to be fantastic. And I'm sorry, the Rangers, Amanda, who was like their sideline reporter, just posted a video of Sam Rosen reading notes on the game and riding a bike because he's warming up before the broadcast. So that was intense. I was not prepared for that. you can't expect them just to come in and light the world on fire. I get that these guys are professionals. I've seen the argument like, oh, these guys are, you know, they do this all over the summer. They don't play and they're expected just, but you also get preseason games. And if you suck the first few games, everybody goes, oh, this is the first game back. It is a viable excuse, and unfortunately Smith is being put under this microscope because for whatever reason, this coaching staff seems to believe that Stephen Kampfer is a player who should be seeing a consistent role on this team. And I have no words for that. I don't know. And obviously Kampfer is the first guy up today because McDonough's out, but this kind of frustrates me too. Hartford's not that far away. So if there was even a threat for the McDonough to not be playing, and there has been for the past few days, because I don't think he practiced, he had a quote unquote maintenance day yesterday, then why isn't Pionk or D'Angelo on the bus up? And probably Pionk, because D'Angelo has had a horrific 2 or 3 weeks in Hartford. He was a healthy scratch the other night. He ended up getting into a Twitter war with some Ranger fans, including Dan, who is a friend of the website, ironically enough.
I just don't think it's smart
those options need to be – those options should be – like, what are you getting out of Kampfer, I guess? Even if Pionk only gives you a night, it's still a night in the NHL that is experience. And maybe he surprises you.
Just one night, Joe.
Just one night. So I don't get it. I understand if, like, McDonough choked on a pretzel or something, God forbid, and they were like, okay, he can't go tonight. And that happened at 5:19. All right, fine. Kampfer goes in and it is what it is, but that hasn't been the case. And sometimes I don't understand this team's priorities. They intentionally did not send Kampfer down because they didn't want him to get taken in waivers. Who cares?
Yeah. Kampfer's played 7 of the last 9 games. The Rangers win streak started on October 31st and Kampfer has been in the lineup for 7 of those games.
One or none, I'm pretty sure.
His first was
against Ottawa, or not against Ottawa. It was what game? The last game he played, he got the very first goal for.
That was Ottawa, yeah.
He played
in the most recent game. He was game. Just there for it.
He didn't play
against
Ottawa.
Yeah, I don't think he was in.
Actually
no,
on the
didn't.
Ice.
I don't think he did.
Yeah,
he didn't score.
We're talking about three different things.
Yeah, Kampfer was not in the lineup against Ottawa.
No, but who did they play before Columbus?
Blackhawks.
They played Chicago.
Did he play against Chicago? I think he did.
I'm sure
he
did.
I'll let you know in 1 second.
And
yes,
he didn't score or even play a role in the game or the goal, but that was the first goal that Kampfer has been on the ice for.
Hey, you know what? He had one shot and three giveaways in that game, buddy.
There you go.
Was the shot on their net?
He also had 26 seconds of power play time, which is just...
things like that, I want to... It makes me so... I can't even finish sentences.
Nick Holden,
like
0
three,
seconds.
Three or five... 3 to 10 seconds, I give you... Like, okay, that line is going on the ice. The puck is in our own zone. Obviously, the power play is over. 20 seconds is a lot. 20 seconds is a lot.
30 seconds is a lot. That's what he had. He had 26 seconds.
Yeah, that's the whole... And Ryan McDonagh should not be on the power play anymore. I'm sorry. As much as I think D'Angelo desperately needs whatever is going to come his way in Hartford, hopefully... or whatever the Rangers PR department has thrown his way, or Pionk, anybody but Shea, anybody but McDonagh. McDonagh, he plays too much at even strength and the penalty kill to be relied on for the power play. I mean, if you're not going to play Shattenkirk all that much at even strength, which seems to be what's happening, play him all 2 minutes on the power play. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I'm cursing a lot today. I don't know why. But not McDonagh. Put SNL star Brady Shea on there.
Brady SKJ.
SKJ, nope. Put him on there. I mean,
what's happening with Pionk and give or take D'Angelo? I could take him or leave him, right? I mean, remember how long McElrath and Shea stayed in storage when we could have used them, what was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah, storage. What a great,
and then
what
finally,
a great turnout.
Beth,
you're cutting out.
The
I don't know what you're saying. There you go. Man,
damn
dog, going crazy. Beth, what were you saying, Beth? You cut out.
I was saying that I'm wondering if we're seeing the same situation D-wise that we did when AV would not bring McElrath and Shea up until the Rangers were already behind in the first round of the playoffs to the Pens. And how nice it would have been if they'd had some experience before that and could have made probably more of a difference.
That was my big argument against McElrath back when there was a thought process that he might be someone the Rangers were trying to, develop since he was a first round pick. And that was that you lost a year of development by like sitting him in the press box and sort of doing this up and down nonsense game. So the question becomes, if you're going to eventually use Pionk or D'Angelo, it's not like, again, Kampfer, why is he here in any normal capacity?
No, there's no.
He doesn't, not that he's a fine stopgap. Kampfer is a fine, like, ninth defenseman. Oh, if you have to use him, go ahead and use him. But, like, you don't need him. You don't need Kampfer. Kampfer is and always will be Kampfer. So what are you getting out of him? Pionk or D'Angelo, even on like a one-off, and listen, if you're the Rangers and you made the decision, you know what, D'Angelo needs to grow up a little bit, and I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world, then go with Pionk, who's playing really well in Hartford. At least they get something out of that game. Kampfer gets nothing. He doesn't give anything either. I don't care if he plays great. He's not going to suddenly turn into an amazing or like a super valuable defenseman. That's not the way that these things work. So they don't just metamorph like go-go power, go-go gadget, good defenseman or something strange like that. So, wow, we went really off topic. There were tons of things that I wanted to talk about, and we talked about Camels, which was not on the list. All right, I have a question from a patron. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I think it's a good question.
What does, though, really? Yes, go ahead.
Our good friend Arch Williams wants to know, if Hedl's play in Hartford and the expected play that you would get out of him when he does come up to the NHL, if that changes the thought process on a potential Kevin Hayes contract. And I did want to talk about Hayes' sort of resurgence, so I am curious what you guys think about that, because I have an answer on that. Mike,
that's a good question.
I think it is a good question. Now, I would say it's a good question regardless because he's a patron, but I do genuinely believe that that is a good question.
You genuinely mean it, yeah.
I genuinely mean it this time.
I think it's important to point out that Hedl is, through nine games, is a 1.22 point per game player in the AHL. And we mentioned how D'Angelo... Yeah, we mentioned before how D'Angelo is kind of stinking it up. In seven games, D'Angelo has two assists. And for an offensive defenseman, it's not good, folks. Meanwhile, Hedl, very good, many good. And even more importantly, I think, is the fact that he's doing a lot of it at even strength. Only one of his five goals is a power play goal. I mean, all of that
is all primary points.
Yeah, it's a sign that he's, anytime a guy he's barely 18. Well, he's only a little less barely 18 now, but
he's 18 by a month.
Yeah, he's too good for the AHL, and that's the point. He's a center, and that's what the Rangers view him as. And I think that it's pretty clear that if Vigneault is going to be around, and that's, despite the hot seat talk and all that, I think the realistic outlook is that he will be around. He's clearly invested in Kevin Hayes, the two-way center / Kevin Hayes, the defensive center. Despite what we've seen from Hayes earlier in his career with all the primary assists, all that offensive acumen he has, it's now come down to like what he can do to help kind of replace all the little things that Derek Stepan did. And frankly, to just be a center to complement Mika Zibanejad being an offensive force of nature. I think the Rangers want very badly to invest in Hayes. And I think the fact that Hedl is, already too good for the AHL will influence this. But it's a big deal. We haven't talked much about it. We haven't heard much about, contract talks with Hayes or Miller for that matter. But, there's a lot of talk about what happens with Ryan McDonagh because he's, a UFA in 2 years. But these two contracts, particularly Hayes, I think, it's a big deal. It's, can the Rangers find a way to keep the guys who are helping the team around? And, you can argue that Hayes, it feels like Vigneault keeps, whacking at him, trying to get the square peg through the round hole to make him into this two-way defensive center. And every now and then there are little signs that he's kind of getting it, but I still don't think that's the best role for him. But, the other day I was just looking at, MSG kind of infamously doesn't do tracking very well. But, 2 days ago during 5-on-5 hockey, Kevin Hayes had as many takeaways as Connor McDavid. It's a really kooky stat, but, tied for ninth in the league, Kevin Hayes, who would have thought?
Kooky.
And, obviously there's a lot more to being a defensive center than takeaways, but, It's definitely a sign that something is starting to work for him. I don't know. Beth, do you see Hayes as like this guy who can't really be replaced? He's someone the team has to invest in, or does the guy like Hedl being in the wings make him less of a priority, I guess? It's hard to even phrase it, but it is a big deal.
But I mean, does it have to be one or the other?
I don't think it does.
I love watching Hayes, and I wish he was smaller, because I wish we could focus on his hands and not try to turn him into Rick Nash or something
like that.
He lost
20 pounds
2 years
ago, Beth.
Gluten-free.
He has a brother,
too. How much do you want him to lose?
Well, I want him to get shorter, frankly, and I don't quite know how that happens. so that he doesn't look like he's supposed to be the kind of beast that clearly I think AV wants him to be. I want him to be the guy who does the mesmerizing spinorama thing that I watched the other night. That was against the Senators, right? That's the guy I want. And I guess, is it that we don't think of guys who are that big playing that way? Because Hayes has always been about his hands. And
it's true.
Watching that, and he's happiest when he's playing like that. So I love watching Hayes when Hayes is allowed to play Hayes's game. And I feel like we're starting to see that again the last few games. Can someone just somewhat, you guys know that numbers aren't my strong suit. Does it have to be an either or?
No, I think that's a great point, Beth. I know that Arch, his question kind of posed it that way, but I don't think those two things have to really directly influence each other. But my short answer is it's definitely going to be a factor in terms of, how much money and how much of a priority the organization will view keeping Hayes happy and keeping him around will be. Because he is an RFA. He'll be here next year, but the question is, what will his contract look like? And this is kind of what happens when the Rangers do this kind of bridge deal and, jerking the players around before. And sometimes we see these, I think it's an example I always bring up, but I should stop always bringing it up. But like the Olli Maatta contract that the Penguins did, they thought he was that guy who you sign him now for a little over $4 million a year and he's going to be great and it'll really work out. And it didn't really work out. And so that contract looks rough, but there's so many more examples of the Roman Josi contracts, all these contracts where if you bite the bullet a little early, you get to have a player. The Rangers did it with McDonough. You get to have a player for so much less than market value. And what's going to happen now is they're going to have to pay market value for Hayes and Miller, and it's not going to be easy.
It's going to make it almost impossible, you would think, to keep like Nash and,
The luxury of returning Rick Nash on a hometown discount is almost ruled out because the more likely answer is, you can sign Hayes, you can sign Miller and keep them both around, which you need to do. Despite what Miller's possession numbers say, he's still producing very well. He's definitely the sort of player that Vigneault likes, the organization likes. Granted, we said that about Stepan, but here we go. And now you have this issue of, you got to keep those guys around. Nash's $7.8 million coming off the books, and next season you have to figure out how you keep your captain in New York, or if you find a way to move on from him. And that's all of these things are why this season was such a crucible for this team and Alain Vigneault. It's not just Lundqvist's age. There's a lot of factors here. And it's tough. The Rangers, this is what happens when you don't give those young guys who you recognize as good those longer contracts. And in retrospect, it wasn't the same with Zibanejad because the Rangers traded for him, but the Zibanejad cap hit, in my opinion, is going to look – it already looks great, and it could look even better. But it's not that easy.
I agree with Beth that you don't have to be draconian like Mike and choose one or the other.
I was answering a patron's question.
You were. here's the thing. His play, I definitely think, changes the dynamic of the Rangers' center, like up and down the lineup. Zibanejad's here for the long term. You would think Hayes is here for the long term, and I'll get to that in a minute. Hedl, and then maybe Bunieves or whoever.
Bunieves!
The question that comes to my mind is, I'm actually a little surprised. I was giving Vigneault credit that I think Hayes kind of is turning into that really good two-way center. I may be crazy, but I think he's been one of the Rangers' best penalty killers. And mad props, yo, to Vigneault in that case, because he's the only one who saw that being a possibility. I can tell you that right now. Oh, man, I accidentally hit the mute button. I think that Hayes is really, really important to this team because you don't get that many primary point generators, and Hayes is a primary point machine when he's put in that role. I think the goal against Ottawa, just like there are these little moments of surprise with Hayes, and I think he impacts the game in a lot of ways outside of just putting up goals and assists. Now, Hedl is somebody who should be in the NHL right now, but at this point, keep him as far away from Vigneault as you can, and he's dominating in the AHL. So I think it impacts Hayes' contract. Not really, but I do think the Rangers are going to have to make a decision between Hayes and Miller, at least on some level. If not, which one are we keeping, to which one are we lowballing? Because they really can't afford to keep both. My ideal situation, I think Staal is playing his way into being tradable again, and I think we're sort of at his peak. The past few weeks have sort of seen him make this slow, almost like a bird crashing downturn. But
is that a thing?
Very Thanksgiving appropriate, I guess.
Yes, very Thanksgiving appropriate.
Very WKRP, yes.
If you can get him out, I think you're saving money that you can allocate to those types of players. And if Pionk is the guy that you're going to go with, or D'Angelo, but at this point, again, it's really looking like Pionk, then at the very least, you have another cost-controlled asset. Because Shea is going to have to get paid at some point. Personally, I'm on trade McDonough. I'm team trade McDonough, not because I don't love him, not because he's not good, but because I feel like I'm going to want to avoid that contract down the line. So I don't think Hedl directly impacts Hayes, but I do think it might make Hayes the one that they're maybe lowballing, because they do have that center in the wings that can probably duplicate that offense. Just my thought. Don't know. It is a great question. Our patrons are very smart.
Yeah.
They are smart,
smart, and
smart
handsome
people.
Handsome and beautiful.
Handsome, beautiful, and just they're hot. They are hot. H-A-W-T, hot.
Joe's all hormoned up because he's having a baby.
I am. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm eating for two, living for two, paying for three. It's just wonderful. patreon.com/blueshirtbanter, y'all. I need the money. That's going to be my new thing. All right, so
baby needs shoes.
Baby does need shoes. Oh, right on time. Our special guest. He's a little late, but my friend Ryan, how are you doing?
Can you hear me right now?
I can hear you right now. That's why I was speaking to you.
Wow, phenomenal. I am calling from my car phone, pulled over on the side of the road. I'm here to defend pie. Is this the place?
It is the place.
Yeah.
Not
God.
Really the time yet,
defend
but it
pie.
Is the place. We were going to introduce you for some Rangers talk. So Ryan is a, in my mind, the only human co-host of Blue Shirts Breakaway, which is another rival podcast that you should not listen to. They had me on a few weeks ago. They do their show on record. So this is Ryan and I actually at one point discussed some of the audio quality for this show, but they're able to do that because they are on archive. We are live. So you are live on the air, my friend. We just finished talking about Hayes. We kind of talked about
the
defense. Yeah, we were going to, I was going to kind of ask Mike to dictate the next, we were going to, you know what we were going to talk about, Mike? So, news came out this morning that the Rangers were really dangerously close to signing Zaropov, who was the, 36-year-old Russian superstar from the KHL who was suspended for, performance-enhancing drugs. There was all that fun stuff. Excuse me. So here's what I can gather. from what I could gather, the Rangers literally, like, Gordon and Sather and Drury were negotiating with him and were finalizing a contract in late July. And then Vigneault stepped in and shut the whole thing down in early August. So, Mike, what were your thoughts on that whole debacle?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I think I specifically asked Igor Arenko, who kind of, you know, reported on it first, kind of broke the story on Twitter about the timeline, because that is what is so relevant here. Particularly because there is a fair amount of criticism with Gorton about, you know, the Stepan trade, bring in Desharnais, and then it was everyone waiting for, okay, and what else? You know, what's that other forward going to be? Who's that other center going to be? And this kind of fits in that timeline of, you know, this was happening when the Rangers were, you know, looking for, you know, another body, really, frankly, for that middle six forward group. And that really, it definitely fits, you know, what we thought was likely happening, was that things were in development and they didn't fall through. And the fact that Vigneault kind of threw his weight around, you know, we've speculated plenty about, you know, how much say he has and, you know, what the roster looks like, not just the lineup. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, he's had, you know, guys like Maxim Lapierre get PTOs and, you know, guys who, you know, he has connections to and all of that. And, you know, with Lindy Ruff behind the bench, and, you know, there's plenty there to suggest that Vigneault kind of gets things the way he'd like to have them, you know, for lack of a better way to put it. But it's really interesting that the Rangers came this close to Zaropov. And really, it seems like the crux of, you know, him not signing here was just his skating. You know, Zaropov, I think it's, quote, coach Alain Vigneault felt that my speed did not allow me to fit in and adapt quickly, end quote. And we know the Rangers are a quick team, and we know that Vigneault is obviously attached to his system and the way that the team is built. So, yeah, I mean, it all fits. It's definitely interesting.
So we've had a debate, and actually, Ryan, we talked about this on your show, didn't we? Which was basically
how we only really trade for players with problems, not sign them. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, that we were debating like the Vigneault hierarchy and where he stood in the land of these were back in the days when we thought Vigneault was going to get fired. It was a simpler time.
Right.
And I had made
that joke
the argument
right over your head, friend. What I meant was there is we traded for Tony D'Angelo, who obviously has some problems. With AV, we talked on our podcast that we really don't know where he stands. We don't know where the power lies. Is he pulling the strings? Is he doing the lineups? Is Sather giving him, or not Sather, Gorton giving him the power? Is he taking those powers away? Like we said, this kind of gives us a bigger view into seeing what Vigneault is really up to, and it seems like he's pulling all the strings.
But instead of clarifying, it makes it even more confusing, because the response that was given to Mike and then the subsequent questions that happened from this insinuated that the Rangers negotiated with him despite AV saying he did not want him to, like, the death. And then it all fell apart and died. And I don't know. Listen, I think you want to live in a world, somebody brought this up to my comment. They said, don't you want a place where shouldn't the coach and the general manager be on the same page with this stuff? And the answer to that is a resounding yes. But this, I think, is the first time that we've seen that, because D'Angelo not playing. Yandel didn't play the way that he was supposed to be playing. Shattenkirk is not being used the way that we would like to see him be used. So it is interesting to get this sort of inside peek at the way that this went down. And not for nothing, I sort of agree with Vigneault here in that if that's the way that you want to play this game, okay, if you're going to go all speed and that's the way that you're going to look at it, then so be it.
Speed.
And I've said a million times, I'm not looking to necessarily agree with Vigneault. I am looking to see his line of logic, because I, as much as I agree with him that he's not the best skater, and if you're going to play fast, it might not work. I think the benefit of having someone like him to help the power play, someone like help him to help add some offense, and then the extra Russian comfort for Buchnevich outweighs the lack of speed. Hey, listen, they can speak Russian together.
No, Warford sounds like a Russian comfort.
You weigh Russian comfort really highly, huh?
I do, because right now it's just Russian Kreider, and there's conflicting reports of whether or not Kreider is fluent in Russian or he speaks like three words. So,
or if he's teaching Buch to speak English right. He's probably messing with him. God knows what he's teaching him.
I don't think you're stalking Buchnevich enough. His Russian girlfriend does a really great job. Also, Buchnevich's mom still makes his bed. Just letting you know, this is all true. I have insider sources.
Huh. Wow. I wish my mother made my bed.
He's fine. He's got Russian comfort is my point.
But as much as he may have Russian comfort here, and I will say that, like, seeing him go to the Knicks game was something that I was really happy to see, because I think there have been – I don't think we would have seen that last year, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I have no proof for that comment, but like him, Zuccarello, Lundqvist, who was the other Ranger there? Was it McDonough? Like that,
McDonough.
Zuccarello. It was Zuccarello, Lundqvist, him.
And McDonough.
And McDonough.
And
that's
Hayes.
The power. That's the friggin' power trio right there. And he's with them. He's good. So
fun story. That was also season ticket holder night, and none of them went. So congratulations, season ticket holders.
Really? That's also interesting. But the Knicks are actually kind of good this year, aren't they?
Theoretically, yeah. They have this player named Porzingis. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's pretty small time right now, but I think he's going to blow up.
That's a good place to bet. That's like getting in on Apple in like 2015. I think it's good to see him there. I would have liked to see the Rangers take a risk, because what's the worst thing that happens? You can't screw it up any more than Vegas screwed up. Shipshevov? How do you pronounce that name, Mike?
Shipachev.
Shipachev? Shipachev. You can't screw it up any more than Vegas.
You can't screw it up.
No, it's impossible. I don't know if. Again, I could see his logic, and I will accept it for what it is. Sitting Buchnevich for glass, I can't. If I can't see the logic, that's when I'm going to complain about something.
I want to interject something really quickly. I don't have any issue with Vigneault kind of, throwing his weight around and saying, you know what, I don't want Zaropov. What I do have an issue with, and it's been an ongoing issue, is the Rangers saying, all right, this plan A and plan B didn't work, and so do we have a plan C? I guess our plan C is Boo Nieves and Paul Carey. And I think that is not a very good way to handle that situation. I think Boo Nieves
like
is. No, and that's what I was just going to say. Like, Nieves is a perfectly adequate fourth line player in the NHL right now. But the problem is, teams very rarely have the luxury of having all 12 of their forwards healthy for long stretches of the season. And, when the Rangers have an injury at forward right now, it's, who's the first guy to go into the rotation? Is it Paul Carey now? It's because it seems unlikely that we'll see, Lettieri or Hedl get called up for, to get another chance, because it just, they kind of had their crack and they didn't get it. But I would have really liked to see the Rangers do something substantial outside of Desharnais, because the fact that, and like you said earlier, Joe, I know Ryan wasn't here for that, but the fact that Desharnais was scratched is just kind of, it's a little eyebrow raising. It's, what exactly does Vigneault think the best 12 forwards are? Or I think it comes down to what he feels that night. And I'm not sure that's a good thing.
Couldn't agree more with Guy. I don't know whose name is, but that's really the case, I think.
What did you say? Say that again.
I said I couldn't agree more with the guy who I don't know your name, but it seems like a night-to-night basis, AV's really putting out the lineup on his feeling.
Yeah, I probably should do introductions. So that's Mike. Mike, this is Ryan. The woman is Beth. Mike didn't know who
nice
you were either,
you
which I was surprised about, but because your co-host is a soulless animal, it doesn't totally shock
yeah,
me.
Listen, Greg, you know, he has a lot of problems in life. One of them is he has to deal with me a lot. So,
That is what it is. He deserves everything he gets, I'll tell you that. yeah, I think that Carrie confuses me, the fact that he's even in the lineup, because what Darnay at his worst still brings more to the table than Carrie does at his best. And I don't think Carrie's been bad at all. I just, this is, you're talking about
he
a quadruple A at
he's
best
an AHL
player.
Or,
yeah,
right, for an actual,
exactly,
genuine NHL player who can put up 30 to 40 points a year. And to Mike's point, if this is really the road, so my biggest issue, and I think we're beginning to see that the Stepan trade was an unmitigated disaster from top to bottom.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
If there really was no plan B, or if they thought they were going to get a center and they didn't, the timeline of saying no to Zaropov, I don't know if I love that, because I think that the Rangers, if you're going to move Miller to the center position and you put a guy that's that talented on the wing, you at least help make that better, right? That's a better situation than, oh, we're just going to put Fast in the top six and, you know, we'll move Paul Carey around and we're going to scratch Darnay. At least then you have options. So I'm not in love with what the Rangers have done to this point in the like replacing Stepan realm. But I also think that if you're going to say no to somebody like that, like you said, Mike, have a plan. There needs to be some type of a plan, because there is not a good look for the Stepan trade right now. D'Angelo is not even playing in Hartford. I mean, Anderson, for as good as he's been and as excited as you could get about him, is certainly not the high-end prospect that you would have
can't
expected
help the team
the
right now
to take right at seventh overall. And that you have no NHL assets. When the Rangers played the Coyotes, neither of their assets were on the ice. That is ridiculous. It's you see what Duchesne brought back.
Subtraction by subtraction.
You see what Duchesne brought back, and it's just astounding. And now, not necessarily to say that Stepan would have gotten the Duchesne return, although I don't think Duchesne is all that much better than Stepan is. And the circumstances are different, but oh boy, Gordon did not play that one well at all. Especially when you consider he just threw Raanta in as just this sort of kicker for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't think there's any other real hockey stuff to go over. I think we need to get to the Thanksgiving part of the podcast, and really the entire reason why
Wait, Ryan, how's the traffic? Where are you?
I'm on the side of a road, pulled over to call into this podcast. That's what I'm doing.
I know,
but
what road?
What road?
We're not coming after you.
Oh, I'm directly on the LIE right now. If you come get me, I'm right off of it. Exit 62, come see me.
Okay. Exit 62, you are up there.
Blue Honda Fit, come get it right now.
It's the worst traffic night of the year, isn't it?
Did you see the photos from Los Angeles yesterday night?
Yeah, that was insane.
I'd get out of my car and walk. How do people live like that? I don't understand. It's just a miserable experience. Anyway, so for those of you who don't know, Ryan's co-host is a demon named Greg who doesn't like pie.
Okay.
Here's
what happened. Let me set this up, Joe. Let me tell the good people.
Go ahead.
We were having a nice podcast. Our good friend Brian Wotanik, nice plug for him on Twitter, was joining us, and we were talking about Thanksgiving, the best holiday. Just that's clear, right? From there, Brian Wotanik said, Thanksgiving is the worst holiday. Greg and I threw a fit. We couldn't believe it. We're like, Brian's no longer our friend. How could we even exist? We talked about all the best parts about Thanksgiving. Well, Brian poo-pooed us. Then all of a sudden, the dessert topic came up. And the twist, the turn came to me. Both Brian and Greg turned to me and said, pie is bad. All pie is trash. None of it is good. And I will tell you, Joe, I almost had an aneurysm. It is a mind-blowing All pie is great. Pecan pie is great. Apple pie is great. Blueberry pie is great. I just don't trust
pumpkin
either of their
great.
Opinions
Fruit
whatsoever.
Pie is great.
Yes.
Pie is great. Pie doesn't segregate its flavors. It's just amazing.
Do you know what my 3.14 favorite day of the year is? It's Pie Day. That's my third favorite day of the year. So I'm ready to fight for pie.
So when Greg, I told Greg that I was annoyed at his lack of liking pie, because
right.
that's like Al Qaeda doesn't like pie. That's the way that works. You have to like pie. It's American.
Right, terrorist hand in hand, yes.
And he bought a pie from the store and sent me a photo of it on Twitter. And I thought that he was going to eat the pie to try it. And then he took a video where he took the perfectly good apple pie and he threw it in the garbage.
What a piece of shit. Oh, can
right?
I here?
A monster.
That?
A monster does something like that. So before I had you on, Ryan, I had to ensure that Mike and Beth were true allies in the pie war. And they are. And you have, there's nothing better than like a blueberry crisp or an apple crisp. There's nothing better than that type of – just pie in general is amazing. And the reason why Thanksgiving is great is because of pie.
Do you remember your first pie?
No. I don't care about
this. This is getting weird.
I have a first pie experience. I was in seventh grade. My math teacher brought in tiny apple pies for all of us on Pie Day. And I will never forget taking the first bite of an apple pie. And it is getting weird, thank you so much. But it was a delicious experience, and it changed my thinking on all of desserts. Now, later on in life, I added ice cream. Are you kidding me? Have my pie and eat it too? I can't stand for this. People who don't like pie aren't really humans. If you're out there right now and you want to come at me, talk about pie, I'll go at you. I pick my own apples to make my own pie every year.
Ooh.
And I take pictures of me doing it, and I have proof.
Ooh, I used to do that with blueberries when I was a kid. You know, you also reminded me of, you know, those like pie pockets you could go buy at the store.
Yeah.
It's like the little apple pie and like the Pop-Tart, but it's not a Pop-Tart, it's a pie. Mike, you're a big Thanksgiving supporter. What is the best food at Thanksgiving? Pie can be an answer, or turkey, whatever you think is the best meal.
Yeah, this is pretty awkward after Ryan's rant, but I'm completely indifferent about pie.
You're completely
indifferent
about pie, but you don't dislike pie.
You haven't met the right pie.
You just said everyone's on Team Pie on this podcast, and now
I thought I had allies. Apparently, but wait a minute. You say indifferent. What do you mean by indifferent?
Switzerland, you know. I don't care. Let people have their pie. I like cake more, but I'm not like throwing pies.
I knew
garbage
someone cake. Liked cake more. I couldn't remember who it was.
Pie is so much better than cake.
I'm so sorry.
Pie is so much better than cake.
Pie is better than cake. I
cake
agree.
Segregates
Let me
flavors.
Say this. It's way worse that Greg – it's way worse that Brian Wotanik hates Thanksgiving than that Greg hates pies. Hating Thanksgiving is a strictly worse take. It's probably the worst take I've heard in 2017, and you guys have lived this year.
Yeah, it's –
All right, so here's a pie question. Can I ask a pie question?
Yeah.
All right, if I want to – so the yearly bourbon pecan pie, do I line the crust with chocolate or do I drizzle chocolate over the top?
Because
let's stop debating.
Why can't you live your life and do both?
That is a dumb debate. Ooh,
I
didn't even think of that.
You could do both. See, this is just like you were saying to Mike, with Hayes and Heidel, why do you have to pick one or the other? You could do both. If you had to do one, though, for both the flavor
it's
and the aesthetic value.
It's now called the Hayes
value,
and Heidel pie.
For the
Hayes and Heidel pie. I love it.
You get more if you drizzle it on top, and you're still getting the flavor. So if you have to pick one.
I get sort of the credit.
Yeah.
I disagree with Joe.
Do both. If you do buy
the
pie,
I might
try both.
The
crust is one of the best parts of a pie, and having
the crust
chocolate on
that.
It
really is
extra.
The best part of the pie. I mean, there's nothing. Beth, I am so into this. Mike, we have to have a conversation about you being indifferent on pie. But regardless, you don't dislike
pie,
which I think is that's a big
Ryan.
You know,
I
get it.
I have a question for Ryan if he makes his own pie. Okay, like the throwdown pie question is butter or shortening? Do you make your own crust?
So sometimes I'm lazy, I do work in the food industry sometimes, and I do buy pre-made pie crusts because I know a lot of people who give them to me because I work in that industry, so I get pie crusts for freebies. Now, I have made my own pie, and was it successful? Not really. Am I that talented at anything? No. So, to answer your question, is I make my own pies by buying the crust, getting the crust sent to me from people I know. But there are delicious
okay.
professional bakers.
Beth, my answer to that question
that
is...
That seems fair.
My answer is butter. I always go butter because
yeah.
butter
no,
is just
butter
delicious.
Is, butter is the right answer.
Butter is.
See, I
would have
went butter
at
anyway.
My last wedding instead of cake, so I go all the way with pie.
You really? Oh, now that is something. I did not expect that. You had
that
pie instead
cake.
Of
wow.
cake. That is intense. What kind of pie?
It was there were strawberry rhubarb and apple
Ooh.
Caramel, salted
oh,
apple caramel.
I think blueberry pie might be my favorite pie, but. Apple pie is very cool. I love blueberry. Blueberry cobbler.
Peach
or blueberry
pie is actually my favorite pie. Mike, are
Any
you still
cobbler
there?
Or crisp?
No, Mike.
Yeah, I just don't give a shit. I'm just trying to listen.
I don't understand how you can be indifferent about pie. Pie is like the heatle of food. It's young and
listen,
amazing.
Just give
then,
wow,
go
that's
and why
range.
Get out of here, guys. Let me know what your best item at Thanksgiving is. That's not pie.
That okay. Best item at Thanksgiving is not pie. Stuffing, 100%.
I have an answer if you want me to go first.
I you
okay,
can go next.
Stuffing is close second.
It's stuffing.
Mashed potatoes. I'm Irish.
Ooh, mashed potatoes is
yeah.
a good answer too.
That's the number one answer, everybody. Mashed potatoes. Make as much as possible. You'll never run out. That's the way to go. Because if you run out of mashed potatoes, you have an angry household and everyone hates you. It's very easy.
Fair, Beth.
Mine is my sausage, cranberry, and cornbread stuffing.
It's got to be
oh.
stuffing. It has to be stuffing.
Sausage
All
and
right,
cranberry.
This is a question
but also
that
turkey.
Came out, this is a question that came up at work. If you're eating cranberry sauce, homemade mm-hmm. or out of the goddamn can?
Homemade. It's so
See,
easy.
I got to
so
go
beautiful.
Can. I got to go can.
I actually like the can. I'm a big can guy.
Yeah, you open it
well,
up,
have
you just
both at least,
you
I know
slop it
like
out
can,
so that it's
but...
literally in the shape of the can.
Why
and
is
it's
that
can,
a good
it's
thing?
A,
I don't care what shape my food is in.
It's just the can. Well, but then that's what makes the can even more pleasing. It's the can. I don't know.
It's
become a
visually striking. Beth.
Yeah,
you
that's great,
admit.
And my turkey is in the shape of a turkey, but that's not why I eat it.
But all turkeys are in the shape of a turkey. You couldn't
that's
make
what I,
your
that's what you think.
Homemade cranberry sauce as, in the shape of a can.
But it's beautiful because it gets different colors of red and it has little flecks of orange zest in it. And it's so good. It's so good.
Well,
it's so
you
good.
Sound like you're
it's
making
a different
really
thing.
Good.
I really think it's a different thing. I may
you think her
yeah.
cranberry game's on a different level. That's the
yeah.
We will
have a blue
yeah.
shirt Thanksgiving someday. But
I'm getting
guys,
it out of a damn
of which,
can.
I have to go make pie crust. I'm not even joking.
Oh, see that?
So
okay.
I'm
going to
leave
pie
you.
Crust?
I have to get out of here too. But it was a pleasure in coming on
yes,
your podcast.
Thank you.
Hopefully
thank
one
you
day I can come back
on.
And talking Rangers for real instead of Thanksgiving. And I'll call in through a computer so I'm not so much on a delay and cutting you guys off every 4 seconds.
No, that's fine. We cut each other off as well. And tell Greg
yeah,
I hate
okay.
him with a fiery passion. I think that's...
I'll let him know. We'll be going to the game this weekend, so I'll hug him for you and say Joe hates you.
Yeah,
so.
Good. Let him know.
All right, guys.
Beth,
thanks for having me on.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Good night.
Beth,
happy
enjoy
Thanksgiving.
Enjoy your pie. Are you having people at your house?
No, we're going to my brother's this year.
Oh, that's right. I knew that, and I still didn't.
Harrison.
I still did not remember that. Okay, so pie at the...
Excuse me.
Yeah, there we go. Mike, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Beth, you could leave if you want. You don't have to... We're
more or less.
Well, I mean,
point.
How
yeah.
long are you guys going to ramble? Are we going back to, like, the camel and ostrich thing, or what's happening here? Are these our good
know.
Nights? Because if
maybe,
these are good nights,
we can wrap
say.
It up.
We could absolutely wrap. I was preparing to wrap it up.
Okay, I
Before
can't
we...
wait for wrapping it up.
Well, before we wrap everything up, I just want to tell all of our listeners, go to therumpus.net and read Beth's amazing essay.
Aww.
You'll thank yourself for it. It's it's tragic. It'll break your heart, but it's beautiful, and it needs to be read by people. So please give that a read.
All right, then
Mike.
I'm going to give you one other then, if we're going to play hardball like that, Michael Murphy. I want you to go to the Sporting News, and I want you to read Mike Murphy's story.
But I am Mike Murphy.
Damn, I didn't see that coming.
Okay. Yeah,
but yes,
you didn't
you
see
should.
That coming, did you?
But I am Mike Murphy, so why would I read a Mike Murphy?
Well, I wasn't telling you to do it.
Everyone
you already
else
did it.
Should oh. about inclusion in sports.
Yes. So it's on sportingnews.com. I don't know if it's still on the main page, but if it's not, you can find
it
on his Twitter. Or
I'm going to do you one better, Joe. Twitter. Everyone go to Joe at Joe because he's going to have a baby.
He's going to have a baby.
That's she's a coming. She's coming.
You have a baby name.
Imminent.
Huh?
You have a baby name picked out for baby, right?
Yes, Kaylin Marie.
Oh.
How do you spell that?
Kaylin.
Oh, oh
that's
pretty. Wait, are you going to call her both, or is it?
No, it's just Kaylin. Just Kaylin.
Okay.
And right now,
oh,
she's being
beautiful.
Referred to as KK, so that's how that's going to go down. So, two things. First, go to iTunes and rate us, please. It helps people find us. Only rate us if you're going to give us 5 stars. If you're not, then you're a son of a bitch.
Yeah, if you're not,
don't
bother.
Don't even look at it.
I don't
want to
hear
even,
from you.
Yeah, turn it off right now. You're I don't even want to hear it. And then patreon.com/blueshirtbanter. We've had a huge influx of people who have been supporting us, which I really, really appreciate. We kind of had a discussion on the last show that we're trying to keep everything free. We have instituted a $5, patron level for us doing some fun behind the scenes stuff. That's obviously been a little slow. We didn't do the podcast last week and, we probably or could podcast next week, but, you know, these have been a little shuffled, so I apologize. But patreon.com/blueshirtbanter and John J. Porter, Anthony Viola, John Reppy, John Alo, Alex Gardner, Alexander Ricard, Robert Courtney, Guy from Montana, Daniel DeJean, Eric Cohn, Matt Bader, George Littman, David L. Singer, Darwin Bushman, Grumpy Smokey, that's Scott
that's
Potash, Dan Lynch, Mike Offit, Chris Baker, if I'm mispronouncing any of these, just yell
Dan
at me.
Dan Lynch.
Bob Kawa, Andrew Grigo, Stink Fleeman, Arch Williams, Igor Zetlowski, Zachary Zetlin, Dan Carozzi, Alexander Thornton, Thomas Osa, Trevor Kempner, and Michael Silvers. That list has gotten a lot longer, so we definitely...
Michael Silvers
yay,
always has
you,
gold
everybody.
In my heart. That's what
yes.
I say.
Mike gave funny nicknames to all of you on the Blue Shirt Banter like reminder post, and then I added some for the new people as well. But yeah, there's definitely
those nicknames aren't as good.
You know, see, this is the you are the I don't even know what to say to you right now. It is Thanksgiving, Michael. Thanksgiving.
But why
did you
grow pies if pies are so good?
How could you be indifferent to pie? I don't understand.
They don't throw real pie if they have any sense. They throw, like, shaving cream pies. And
yeah,
Joseph
not,
might have to eat shaving cream, so.
I might have to eat shaving cream, not a whole pie, but you
oh,
know what? If a, if,
that's what we should
if
do.
If 1,000 people sign up,
thing.
I will eat a pie of shaving cream.
Joe, you're going to go blind or something.
Well, 1,000 people aren't going to sign up, so.
Yeah, it's much more dangerous than licking Brady Shea.
Yeah, she's going to be licking Shea, whatever. It happens.
Yeah, Beth was making Brady Shea jokes before SNL, folks. I mean,
yeah, that's fair.
I sure
absolutely.
Was. I got there first. He's
she
mine.
Did. Okay, now we're getting into a strange territory.
It's Thanksgiving, Joe.
It is Thanksgiving,
yeah.
You're right. So go enjoy your
I'm
turkey.
I'm thankful for Brady Shea, among other things.
Your pie.
And Pavel Buchnevich, which ranger are you most thankful for right now?
Oh, Beth, look at you.
That's a great question.
I'm going to say... Kevin Zibanejad Kirk. Vinich. it's tough.
We my top
I just
in
wrote
order.
The big piece about Shattenkirk, but I'll say right now it's Mika Zibanejad because without Zibanejad I think everything would be a burning wreck.
That's true, it would. I agree. But I'm still voting for Pavel Buchnevich.
God bless us all.
It is, for me, it is Shattenkirk, Zibanejad, and Buchnevich are my three. Yeah.
All right. On that note, gentlemen.
Yes.
Everyone.
Goodbye, Beth. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everybody. The Rangers play in 50
minutes.
The next
time we talk,
and
there'll be a Kalen.
No, we may talk before that, because I think if...
Oh, my
maybe
God.
Maybe we'll try to do the show Monday or something,
maybe
so
I'll
long as everything goes well.
We'll figure that out elsewhere. Good night. Happy
yeah,
turkey.
Beth
happy
doesn't,
night.
Beth doesn't have time for us because she's
happy
a whale.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you, Greg, for jumping on and screaming at us.
Be
Mike,
safe.
You have a wonderful Thanksgiving, you son of a bitch.
You too, buddy.
We'll talk to you all next week. Peace out, Cub Scouts.